Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for a day like this. Father, thank you. It is your wisdom that days are created like this, that we don't forget the value, the treasure, the importance of what you have done in the earth through our mothers. Today we celebrate your wisdom in the earth, and we thank you for all our mothers. Father, we are grateful. There is not one living today if it wasn't for a mother. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let every woman, every mother, today, at the sound of our voice, be encouraged, be inspired. And Father, open our understanding by your spirit of wisdom to release and to impact and to awaken what you put in women, especially in our mothers. Thank you.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Amen. I really thank God for the privilege for us to celebrate our women today, especially our mothers. Amen. Like I was praying earlier, there is not a soul on earth today if it wasn't for a mother. And so today is a special day for all. Amen.
Yeah.
I know that there are those today might not be so special, because in a wrong way, they miss their mother. And our prayers are with those who love their mothers so much, and the impact their mothers have made, that the thought of them brings a little bit of grief. So we grieve with everyone who today, like Cheryl prayed, is struggling with the absence of their mother. We always miss our mothers. There's no way we will not miss them. Amen?
Amen.
They are still alive in our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
We thank God for the grace God has given single mothers. We thank God for the grace God has given our grandmothers and our great-grandmothers. Everyone watching today, we say God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you so much for all you've done. Usually Mother's Day, we will just go through the surface of just being a blessing, an appreciation to our mothers, which we must always do. But I don't know, I just felt the need to just go just a little bit deep about the treasure that sometimes we take so much for granted. The value of anything is in the understanding of what that thing really is. And when we don't understand the value of what we have, we will not be able to appreciate it or to manifest a gift the way it should be. I have a cell phone. All I use for is just email and texting. But there are those who truly know the value, the use of it, and they're able to use it for greater, greater, greater purpose. So here, there's a young man who God gave a gift of wisdom, and he was able to see a mystery about women. And he was able to see the wisdom behind the creation of women, and especially mothers. And his name is Solomon. And he said in Proverbs 31. I wish I could read the whole thing, but I'll just read a few verses. This is what it said about Proverbs 10. It says, who can find a virtuous woman? Means a woman of valor. Who can find a virtuous? It's a question. For then he started as giving some understanding. He says, who can find a virtuous woman? And then he says, for her price, her value is far beyond money. Rubies is far beyond anything money, anything man can purchase. He says, the heart of a husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoils, meaning her home will not be destroyed. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool. She's a businesswoman. She has business. Just what he's saying. She is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She rises also a while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hands she planted a vineyard. You can go on and on and on and on, towards the bottom it says, she opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Wow. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but these excelled them all. See, he says, many women has found their influence, their power, but a virtuous woman is another level. Excelled them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gate. Again, verse 30 here makes a powerful statement. And when we're talking about mothers, we're talking about here, it talks about the first of all, they are virtuous women before they become mothers. And when they become mothers, he talks about what happens when a virtuous woman has children. And he's talking about all these values here. Then in verse 30, especially for young men and for young women, he says, favor is deceitful. This is not saying that you shouldn't be beautiful. He says, by nature, women are beautiful. But he says, if a man or a woman just looks only on her outward beauty, he says you're not looking deep into the treasure you carry. He says, but a woman that fears the Lord. In all these statements from verse 10, Solomon was just looking back, and God gave him wisdom to discern life. He ended up by saying there is a secret to being a virtuous woman. And he says, it's the fear of God. And the same thing is with men. So a woman that feared God, she shall be praised. That's the secret of a virtuous woman. Now, Solomon used the word a woman that fears God. Like I said, we could run through the surface of it. But I feel we are living in an uncertain times right now. We are living in a very, very unprecedented times. And we might as well use this moment as we celebrate one of the most powerful gifts God has given to mankind. We must also use this season to encourage and use the word of God to awaken the revelation and the mystery surrounding the power, the influence that God has given to every generation and women. The fear of the Lord. Now, we're not going there, but right? Why Solomon said the fear of the Lord is because if you go to the book of Ecclesiastes, you will see there again, Solomon says, the most crafty and the most devised evil is ever dealt with is a woman that doesn't fear God. If you read Proverbs, you see there. Now, I want us to look at a few history just to help us appreciate. I want to really speak to the heart of women today, and especially our mothers. I want to thank God so much, but I also want to use this opportunity not only to encourage you for what you've been doing, but also to speak to women out there that are not yet mothers. We're living in a short time, and every opportunity we have, our potentials needs to be awakened. Everything God has created in the earth has a spiritual beginning. Everything. If you fast forward very well, in Ephesians chapter 5, Jesus referred to, he says, when he speaks about husband and wife, he says he's talking about Christ and the church. So it's a spiritual thing that is shadowed in the physical realm. The value of the things we have here on earth are most revealed by the spiritual world. The most influential, the most powerful creation on earth is a woman. And in the spiritual realm, God understood that this is what God says, and it's deep, but we're not going that direction. He says, man cannot live without a woman. When he says it's not good for man to be alone, is a big mystery right there. But basically, put it in the short term to where we're going, it is not possible for mankind to exist without a woman. So why will God, the creator of all things, put man on earth and says it is not good, it's not possible for you to be alone? So I want to share some spiritual things. The first man didn't need to be born. He was created. But on earth here, because of the interest the spiritual world has on the earth, God must always have an incubator for everything. Incubator means both natural and spiritual. It means a covering, a shadow, a protection to cause that thing to come forth. There are so many reasons why man cannot be alone, but for today, the spiritual component is that the destiny of man is buried in the womb of a woman. And Satan knows that. Satan knows what God was talking about. And Satan, because the spiritual world sees deeper, tapped into that secret. And he was able to blindside Adam and Eve because Adam didn't really understand the mystery of the wife, what that assignment is. And Eve didn't so much understand, but Satan manipulated it. And from the fall of the first man, it is clearly revealed the power and influence that God has put in the life of a woman. Now, moving forward, the Lord said this about a woman and the power and influence of a woman. moving forward from that place. Now that the first destiny, Adam, has been corrupted because of Satan's understanding of the influence of a woman. Moving forward, God said this. He says, the seed of the woman will now become, will bruise the head of the serpent. That's amazing. This is God again putting in effect the influence going forward that women will carry. In other words, Satan, you've done this, now I'm going to make them more powerful. So the womb of a woman is designed to carry destinies. Every plan of God, God spoke to Jeremiah and says, I have a plan that before you are born, I knew you. I have a plan for you. But that plan will not be manifested in the earth. It has to go through the womb of a woman. And while that plan, that destiny is in the womb of a woman, it is formed in that womb. So, that's why I say, I want us to go a little bit deeper so we don't just see ourselves as mothers or women and take that calling in vain. Take it lightly. We just read about the upgrade of the value of a virtuous woman. God is saying to Jeremiah, and for many generations, Paul says there are things that are mysteries that were not revealed to a lot. But in the days of Jeremiah, God revealed the power of a mother. He says, the plans of God has to be seeded in the womb of a woman. And in that womb, destinies are formed. So when women get married, as they begin to pray and seek God, it says a woman that fears God, fears the Lord. The moment that plan of God begins to be unfolded through a man into the womb of a woman, the woman now carries the plan of God in her womb. And if that woman fears God, that's what Satan has hidden from many generations. It's the woman now begins to, you're not looking at a physical person. The woman now begins to pray into the destiny she's carrying. And begin to say, God, I carry your plan. Let that plan, even from the mother's womb, begin to have impact. Now, if you fast forward to the New Testament, you will see that it happened to John the Baptist and Jesus. Right in their mother's womb, their destinies were already speaking, because those were women that pray. Those were women that carried divine purposes, understanding, and in their understanding, they were able to become incubators for God's plan. And when Elizabeth met John the Baptist, they felt the movement, and it says they were already experiencing God in the womb. That's the power women carry, mothers. All through the Bible, God is always wanting to birth destinies. In other words, everyone that God has put in the womb carries a destiny. But the women and the men, the husbands, if they don't just take it as my child, I'm pregnant, and begin to say, God, I want you to begin to cause that which is in my womb to start forming into that which you created to be. Children, even from the womb, already will begin to be sensitized to why they are coming in the earth. So by the time they come in the earth, like Jeremiah at a young age, like Samuel at a young age, Jesus at a young age, they are already beginning to sense the purpose of God. And the devil hates that. So today I'm just using this to, again, thank God for our mothers. But I'm sharing this now to awaken mothers to be, and mothers that are still pregnant, or even mothers that have children. By nature, the design of God in the physical, women are destiny carriers. And none of us, again, will be here serving destiny and purpose if not for a woman. So the seed is sown in a woman. The woman carries this destiny for 9 months about. And then the destiny is released into the earth. That's the physical part of it. But it's a spiritual principle that shadows the plan of God in the earth. Talking about Christ and the church. Amen?
Amen.
Let me leave it there. But let's go a little bit to just some smaller areas that will help us again appreciate women. Every woman living today, unknown to you by nature, by nature, you have influence. You are just created with influence. And Satan has perverted that influence. For example, today, a naked woman can slay any man that looks at him. That's how powerful women are. It wasn't like that in the garden before the fall. That is the physical influence. The second influence is when you get married, you are the only one that has the capacity to be pregnant. Nobody can be born without you. And for the soul's sake, we are here today. That is power. And every woman that gives birth to him, that carries a child and gives birth, there is a connection because of the Bible says it's not just the 9 months you carry the child, but it's a statement Jesus used and all over the Old Testament. It says, as soon as Zion travail, it's called birth pain. Men don't go through it. A woman goes through what they call birth pain before the child is born. The Bible uses that to describe the most painful crisis in human life. We might not know that pain a lot today because of epidural and many scientific way of making delivery easy. But in reality, a mother goes through the worst describable pain to release a child into the earth. And so because of that, the heart of a mother is the closest thing to the heart of God and his children. Mothers will never give up on their children. Mothers will fight will do anything. Jesus says, as the mother hen gathers at the risk of predators. The heart of a mother is the most powerful place of prayer God can find. And for that reason, because of the nature of a woman, and also because of the characteristics of a woman, God, all through the Bible, has used women in doing great exploits in the things of God. Actually, in Jeremiah 9, from 17 to 19, when Israel was in one of the worst crises of history, it says, call for the willing women. Because they understand the power of carrying a burden and pressing it through with tears. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to share just a few. The Bible's history is full of great, great virtuous women in their own fields, in their own capacity, in their own ways. If you read Proverbs 31, you see so many things listed there. There are so many women that in various capacities have manifested this treasure God has put in them. The value, the power, and the influence of a woman is unlimited. It just depends on how you tap into it. They are destiny carriers, destiny sustainers, and destiny influencers. For example, God gave Abraham a promise. And he knew that eternal purpose will come out of that promise. God has to raise up the right woman to be able to be married to Abraham to bring about this fulfillment of promise. Now, I want you to realize that today is not Father's Day. If the enemy can destroy the destiny of Adam and the destiny of Eve, that shows you the fear of the enemy in these destinies, especially women. So even today, destinies are comforted by true virtuous women, or women who have discovered their fear of God. So God gave us an example of a virtuous woman in the life of Sarah. Sarah went through a lot with Abraham. A lot. But through it all, you can see she submitted to the will of God through Abraham and God her Lord. In other words, she has such a fear of God that every mistake Abraham made, she submitted unto God as unto to Abraham and also God, knowing that she is instrumental to the fulfillment of God's promise. And together, today, Sarah is called the mother of Zion in history. Isaac. Even when her womb was dead, she still believed God to bring about the promise. Rebecca was another humble woman. These are destiny carriers. But before Rebecca became a mother, God found in her the heart of a servant. When the servant of Abraham prayed, "Take me to where I can find the right wife for my master's son, Isaac." And he gave a lot of signs. Meaning, signs. How do I know that this will be the right woman? He says, if the woman that I see has a selfless attitude, when I bring my horses or my donkey, she will give them water to drink. It's not something you do mechanically. He found out that the secret was a woman who cares for others, who serves others, who cares for strangers, hospitable. That's how he found out it's one of the virtues of a virtuous woman that could keep destiny. And that's how Rebecca was discovered. She cared for strangers. She honored people who needed water to drink. And even to their donkey, she shared her resources with strangers. Another woman, there's so many. But again, we're talking about the various characteristics that caused these women to become mothers that carry destiny and preserved it. Her name is Ruth. With all that they went through, the loss of her husband and everything, she discovered something. She discovered that her mother's suit, her husband's suit, they carry the DNA of God. She found God in the family she married to. She discovered God through Naomi. And she, looking to God, made a covenant with Naomi. In other words, she's making a covenant with God, but she made it through what she understood. And she said to Naomi, "Where you go, I will go. Where you die, I will die." She was really listening to God. And she was a woman who knew how to wait on the wisdom of elderly women. So he said, and through that, the counsel and the leading of the Spirit of God. Again, I want to put it this way. These are women, when they find God, they find the Holy Spirit, they literally surrender to the counsel and the leading of the Spirit, just like Naomi. And God leads them into their Boaz, into their place of destiny. And that's what happened to Ruth. She did not look back at her tragedy. She did not look back at the past. She just followed the counsel and wisdom of God, and she found her future in a greater capacity. Hannah will say to us today as mothers, never give up on your expectations. So many people give up. The Bible says her womb was shut. And God was testing this woman. And she had the capacity to bring forth destiny. She never gave up. At some point, she says, I love my husband. I love money. I love everything you've given to me. But I have an expectation. And she went after God. A woman, a virtuous woman, a mother, before she became a mother, understood she has a right towards God. And her expectation can come from God. A woman who goes beyond every human limitation and says, no man can help me at this point, but I know God can. And she refused to let her expectation be limited to man. That's a woman God is looking for to bring destiny. And she became the mother of one of the most powerful false prophets in Israel, called Samuel. She is a woman whose womb, who understood what I'm trying to say about the mystery of women. God wanted to birth something in the earth, and she discovered the way to do it is to partner with God. And she made her womb available for what God wanted to do. And that was Samuel, and she gave it to God. That is a virtuous woman. There's so many women in the Bible that will teach us today how we should, examples we should follow. There's a woman, her name is called Abigail. You can tell she has a problem with her husband, but nobody knew. Her husband was just one of those husbands, only the Bible can disclose the way he disclosed it. He was a problem. But this woman has lived in that marriage, but nobody knew until he had a problem with David. Her husband had a problem with David. And even when her husband, in all his stubbornness and evil, was in trouble, the woman still stood in the gap and pleaded to David not to kill her husband. Stood in the gap to the point when this woman's husband died. David married Abigail because he saw something in Abigail as a destiny incubator. Somebody who will fight for destiny. Somebody who will preserve destiny. Who knew how to stand in the gap. Married her. And Abigail, among all David's wives, is known that none of her children had a bad image. Something about that woman needs to be an example to every generation of the life of a virtuous woman. There's another woman, so many women in the Bible want to understand, we can only do a few in the time we have. On a day like this, we are remembering them. Her name is Deborah. There was something that sometimes we just think is only for men. But whatever is in Deborah's heart, she discovered she too can walk in the mantle of prophetic anointing. And she gave herself so much to God in that area that her generation in Israel, they could not go to war without her. They could not do without her. Her prophetic insight, her prophetic wisdom, meaning her deep relationship with God, was literally evident to Israel. Even in times of war, they can't go without them. Deborah is saying to us today, don't limit your giftings. Don't limit yourself. Don't say this man. We are in the New Testament. God can use anybody. She was a prophetic warrior. Even the men sought for her help. Let's move quickly. One of the greatest women in the Bible. I think sometimes there are people that God don't say so much about their personal history, about the depth of their history. But one thing you know, that they have a deep history of a virtuous life or the fear of God is what God calls them to do. The best way I describe this woman is she's an embodiment of wisdom. and purity. She is the mother of Jesus. Her name is Mary. If God knew from Genesis, he said that a woman will come in a generation, and this woman will produce my son, the seed that will bruise the head of the serpent. You think God will make a mistake about the heart of that woman? Mary must have the fear of God that is unparalleled. The purity and the wisdom. Mary exhibited such wisdom that when angels appear and tell you things that men, other people will give up or question angels and worry, she had so much wisdom in her discretion of spiritual things. She would say, whatever you say, instead of speaking on any other way, say, whatever you say, let it be happened that way. She would have said, how can this be? Me? Can you ever have some? Like Zachariah or so many great people in the Bible that took mysteries God is sharing to them in vain. She was so wise. All true. When prophecies will come to be fulfilled in the temple, or she will hear prophetic words, or things very great, the Bible says she will keep it in her heart. She didn't write a book about it. She didn't go telling the whole world about it. She kept these mysteries, and the Bible, that says she's so wise. Because if you look back through history, a lot of times when Joseph or a lot of people say too much, got them into a lot of trouble about the mysteries of God. Mary was a woman of great wisdom. When her husband could not understand this mystery that was coming to her, you can tell she's a woman of prayer. God, you betrothed me to this man, and you want him to be my husband. There's no way he will accept this. You have to talk to him. And God sent an angel to bring the husband on the same page. She didn't go to the husband and say, Joseph, you know what the angel told me? I'm going to be pregnant. And you're going to... That's a woman of wisdom. She knows her husband is not in that capacity to handle that. Say, God, you have to do it. And God did it. A woman of great wisdom, spiritual discernment. Mary, the mother of Jesus. No wonder Jesus will not give anybody, even the brothers of Jesus, to take care of her mother. Jesus took a man so close to his heart and said, take care of my mother. A woman. History will ever be called blessed among women. One of my favorite women in the Bible is Mary Magdalene. Every one of us, every woman, everybody in the Bible has to be delivered from darkness to light. We all came out of some kind of junk or lifestyle we're living. When this woman came out of darkness and she was delivered, this woman discovered the secret of true worship. She became an embodiment of what the Bible calls true worship. And never since she found Jesus, left his side, followed him all the way to the cross. Believed in his resurrection when others did not. Woke up before everybody else. Passionate about the Lord. Passionate about the one who's worshiped. Totally sold out and became. Listen, when God does things, you must understand God doesn't do things aimlessly. She was the first woman to see the resurrection. There must be a reason for that. She was a true worshiper. Mary, the sister of Martha, Lazarus' sister. She's a woman who waits on the Lord. Wise women who know what to do, they do everything at the right time because they wait on God. They know when to do things and they know when not to do things. Jesus says she has found a secret waiting on God. And when you wait on God, you know there will always be a moderation There will always be balance. So again, this is another wise woman because she waits on God. She knows when to cook when Jesus comes, but she knows when not to cook and listen. She knows when to do things at the right time. A virtuous woman that waits on God will always learn and discern when the right thing ought to be done, no matter how good it looks. It's good to cook for Jesus, but that's not what Jesus wanted. Martha was distracted, but because this woman has a virtue of the fear of God, from waiting on God, she knew what to do and when to do it. That's what God is looking for in virtuous women and our mothers. There's another woman, there's so many in the Bible, the influence of women in ministry. Today, she is a perfect example. When you see a husband that has a calling and a woman has a calling, she's a good example of flowing together with her husband. Her name is Priscilla. Every time you see them in the Bible, it's Priscilla, Aquila, Aquila, Priscilla. Paul, over four times, and then to the Corinthians, is always asking, how is Priscilla and Aquila? Talk to Priscilla and Aquila. I salute Priscilla and Aquila. These are husband and wife that literally their calling, they understood how to flow together, how to work together, and everything they did together in ministry. That was an example of a virtuous woman who understood the place of her husband's and her place in ministry, and they were a perfect example for generations. And it's because Priscilla understood the fear of God and the place of righteousness. Another woman to go, amazing. I call her the woman no church can do without. The woman the body of Christ cannot do without. This is women that are addicted to serving God and people. This woman, even when she died, people says, no, we cannot do without her. You must bring her back to life. Any woman, anybody will be crying, there's no way she can die. That's a Dorcas. Every church needs a Dorcas. Every ministry needs a Dorcas. It's hard to find. Selfless, sacrificial, giver, and a helper for everyone that needs something done. Dorcas was a seamstress and made is so selflessly available that the church could not do without Dorcas. Everybody needs a Dorcas. Dorcas, we thank God for you. Amen.
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 We can go on and on and on. The Bible is full of all kinds of amazing stories of mothers who, before they became mothers, found the secret of living a virtuous life. Today, the list is endless. But if we pull it a little bit closer to where we are today, there is a few. We say, oh, these are the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. Thank God the Bible is this is undeniable practical story of God. I didn't go into the negative women, as you can see, that there's a reason this was where what God wanted to be. But I want to show you here that it's not just in the Bible. There are women in our current generational history that are making a difference. In the seven spheres of the mountain of human influence, today, every mountain of influence, from government to family, to education, to business, to every aspect, the media, there are women who are making a difference. Even today in government, there are women that have become prime ministers, there are women that have become literally leading a conglomeration of national presidents and leaders. Women have influence. There are women that served in amazing capacities even here in the US. In different mountain of influence, today, a woman is overseeing the affairs of education in America. And so on and so forth. In business, in careers, women has come a long way. Satan hates the influence women carry. That's why there are so many religions today that Satan literally suppresses the ability, the potentials of women because of the fear of women discovering the ability to release what God has put in them. Today, looking back at history, there's a denomination called Foursquare. That denomination is all over the world making a difference. The founder, the visionary for that ministry is Emmy Sample McPherson. She was so filled with the Holy Spirit and led a movement of God that today has lasted up till now. Solid denomination. Making a difference in the whole earth. The visionary was a woman. Marianne Woodward Ethel worked in such amazing, miraculous move of the Spirit that her name is written in the archives of spiritual awakening in the history of the church today. Catherine Kuhlman, a woman that discovered how to flow with the Holy Spirit and awakened so many generations still today on how to walk in the presence of God with fear and trembling. Virtuous women, mothers of faith. You can go on and on and on and on. But sometimes you hear about all these people in history, but the one that makes more and was more real to you are the ones you experience every day. Today, I thank God for all these women that we've talked about. Their examples influenced my life, but nothing more practically affects my life in this generation and today than the wonderful mothers of Mount Zion. We are blessed to be the best mothers. You only know what you have. You can tell the stories of many people, but those you live with. So I really want to thank God for blessing us with MZPC amazing mothers. What they've been through, what they've come through. And today I say they are blessed because of their love for God, their love for their children. I experience them day and night praying and serving the purpose of God of being an incubator for the destinies of their children, their husbands, because they've discovered the very mystery of being a woman and a mother, and that's the power of manifesting destiny through the power of prayer, intercession. That's why I cannot in any way give God enough thanks and share the mystery and the value of Mount Zion women. They are the best I know because the secret of a woman I found in them, both in destiny. And I pray every mother will take this message and go into a higher level of why they are women and mother is to give birth to destinies, is to incubate destinies, and is to release destinies as God desires it to be. So on this Mother's Day, I want to say thank you so much, MZPC mothers. I pray God will continue to bless you, prosper you, and cause you to see the joy and the fruit of your labor in the Spirit over your children, over your husbands, over your family, and your extended family. Thank God for all Mount Zion women. Thank God for your virtuousness and your desire to keep upgrading your fear of God. Based on what you've heard today, you carry influence and you carry God's heart to see destinies unfold. Women of influence, this is your generation. God says in Jeremiah 9:17-19, God is still crying for willing women, meaning women who will partner with God to release the destinies of a generation from darkness to light. On this Mother's Day, we say thank you, our dear mothers. Thank you for all you do and what you continue to do. God will bless you and you will enjoy the fruit of your labor. In Jesus' name.